The Storm by Elizabeth McNeil and read by Angela Ness for Saga Egmont. Introduction. Men have fished out of Eyemouth for over 700 years, and their descendants are still doing so today. Where the Berwickshire River Eye falls into the North Sea, it forms a small but deep natural harbour, enclosed on both sides by embracing arms of land. On its southern side is a green-covered promontory, dominated by an elegant 18th-century mansion house, once used by smugglers and later by customs men. On the north, across the bay, rears a vast jagged cliff of grass-topped red sandstone that culminates in a point like the profile of a bulldog. Its flank shows a huge section of fallen-away rock that looks as if a giant has taken a bite out of it. A short sweep of yellow sand forms a beach beneath the southern promontory, and behind it is the town, a huddle of red-roofed, white-walled houses hiding from the wind. A tall, thin church spire pierces the sky behind the streets and narrow alleys. In the spread of open water, between the two points, a cluster of black rocks rear up like broken alligators' teeth. These are the Hurkers, sinister obstacles between which fishing boats must weave a course before they reach safe harbour, which many of them failed to do on the day of the worst storm in the town's history. Chapter 1. Early morning, Friday, 14th October, 1881. Tangles of her curly yellow hair got into her mouth and woke Rosabel Scott as she snuggled against Dan's back in the comfort of their bed. She pushed the hair away and laid her cheek on his back, breathing in the scent of him, putting out her tongue and gently licking his skin. The taste of his salty sweat made her whole body quiver, overcome by a wordless, joyous intensity of love. Was it only a week since they'd been married? They had spent the 7 days in uninhibited lovemaking. And it was so much sweeter to make love in a bed, instead of sneaking off to the ruined fort on top of the cliff. They'd done that all summer, but their desire had been made tense by fear of somebody stumbling across them. She was carrying Dan's baby now, but felt no shame at being a pregnant bride. Most of the women in Eyemouth, including her own mother, took their marriage vows pregnant. At least she'd waited till she was 19 before she fell with Dan Maltman's child. And he was the only man she'd ever been with or wanted. He shifted his shoulders like a restive horse when he felt her tongue licking his back. "Heard the clock?" he asked in a hoarse voice, still full of sleep. "Aye, it struck 5 a little while ago," she told him. The church clock that marked out the time for their town had helped to waken her. "Smells dry. It's going to be a fine day," she guessed, sniffing the air, for there was no window in their snug little room to look through. He sat up abruptly. "Is it? Then we'll sail." She propped her head on her hand and smiled at him. "That's all you want, isn't it? To go to sea. Are you tired of being in bed with me already?"
"Dinna be daft. I could stay here with you forever. But the boats have not been out for a week, and we need money in our pockets. I'll buy you a silken gown if we have a good catch."
He remembered how she'd sighed over the dresses of fine ladies parading along Princess Street in Edinburgh, where they'd spent the day after their wedding. She sighed and pouted. "I wish we could stay in bed forever." He laughed and spread himself out on top of her, flattening her slender body beneath his weight.
"So do I, but we have to eat. No fishing, no silk gowns, and no eating."
She locked her arms behind his head and pulled his bristly face down to hers. "I know something that's better than food."